Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. We are here today to continue a public hearing and work session on the Division of State Lands budget. We have a problem. We don't have any way to get a quorum on the Senate side. Senator Farioli and Senator Hannan are both unavailable. So it's the chair's intention in this meeting to proceed through the LFO budget, to have the Division of State Lands come forward and comment on the LFO budget, to have the committee discuss what we want to have in the final proposal, and do everything that we can do except vote on the measure, and we'll vote on it first thing Monday afternoon. So with that in mind, I will turn it over to Ken Rocco to present the LFO budget to us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've handed out two items to you, a memo and a spreadsheet.
May I interject, too? It's been requested by one of the committee members that when you refer to the spreadsheet, that you actually refer to the page number and what part of the budget it is, so that we can correctly orient ourselves.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Madam Chair, and Ken, are these new numbers? Anything changed, or did we get an earlier version of this?
Madam Chair, Representative Crump, in this case, you have not seen this before.
Okay.
This is the only version that we've provided you so far on that.
This is version 1.0, right?
Right.
Okay.
From LFO.
One question now.
Representative Krieger.
Representative Morgan.
Ann Hannis has a budget package piece that shows the individual packages. Somehow I can't locate it. Were we given the same thing she's got?
We have a recap of the budget packages to hand to you when she comes forward.
You also, we passed out a response to a question from Wednesday on the program option package 105 that the department has provided to you, and they can go into that if you have any further questions about it.
We could also have the director outline this memo when you come forward.
Madam Chair, I think probably the best thing to do today would be to just review with you the LFO recommendations and leave the discussion of the total numbers to the end, or until we actually have a work session on the budget. So I would like to start on the memo on page 2 to describe some of the changes that we're recommending to the governor's recommended budget. In the Common School Fund program, the first recommended change is to reduce, this is under number 1A, would be to reduce the base budget for the public employee retirement system employer contribution rate change, and that results in a $13,802 other funds reduction in that program. Item 1B is an adjustment to, actually it's creating an essential package 020, and this is due to these services and supplies that were associated with a limited two limited duration positions that were in the 1999-01 budget and were taken out as limited duration positions due. They were removed from the budget. But the way the budget system works, you're also supposed to take out the related services and supplies expenditures in an 020 package, and that was not done. So we're recommending a reduction of $42,128 other funds for that. And then if you approve package 101, I believe it is, that adds those limited duration positions back, this services and supplies dollars will be restored in that package. So it prevents a double counting of those resources. Under 1C, there is a essential package 030 change, which is due to a reduction in the state government service charges based on the budget passed for the Department of Administrative Services that went through full Ways and Means Committee today. And due to a reduction in the rate that's charged for Attorney General expenses, which has also been discussed in another Ways and Means Subcommittee, that has effectively reduced the AG hourly rate from $106 per hour to $97 per hour. So this is another one of those reductions you'll see in all budgets that come forward from now on. For Package 101, which is the unclaimed property staff, LFO is recommending that those two positions be approved again this biennium, but instead of being permanent, be limited duration again. There's a slight reduction in the package of $281, and that's simply due to the PERS employer rate contribution. We would also suggest that the agency be directed to continue monitoring the performance of these positions and generating revenue as they showed you on Wednesday. Package 103, which is the reclassification package, we're recommending denial of this package pending a future report from the Department of Administrative Services on the review they're doing, basically the reevaluation of this reclass package that you've heard a lot about in the past this week. Package 105, this is the package that would add four new positions for land and resource management. LFO is recommending limited duration natural resource specialist 3 position. This is the one that you heard that would be dealing with the leases and the easements. And approval of that position would cost a total of $128,564 other funds. And it's broken down there for you by personal services and services and supplies. We would also recommend adding the budget note, which states that the subcommittee directs the agency to measure the performance of the natural resource coordinator position in addressing potential new waterway sand and gravel and rangeland leases and easements, including the generation of new revenue for the Common School Fund, and report the results to the 72nd Legislative Assembly. And the intent there is that if this position is able to deal with that backlog of structures that was discussed, and the agency wants to continue the position in the 03-05 biennium, they would need to provide some substantiating evidence for its success in completing its functions. And then finally, in that package, LFO would recommend denying the remaining three positions in the package. The net result to the governor's budget would be a reduction of $270,615 and three FTE. In package 106, which is the non-regulatory wetland specialist, LFO recommends partial approval of that package, not the position, but there also included in that was an existing Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board grant of $125,000, and that grant was already awarded by OWEB and addressed by the Emergency Board in September of 2000, and we're recommending approval of that limitation increase for the grants that are associated with the wetlands program, but not the position. So the net effect is a reduction of $129,574 other funds and one FTE from the governor's recommended budget. Package 107, LFO is recommending denial of that package, which is a reduction of $80,708 and one FTE. On page 4, item I, package 109, which is the information systems package that the agency discussed, LFO is recommending denial of that package, which is a net reduction to the governor's budget of $120,000 other funds. Item J, which is a LFO adjustment package, We're recommending here, this total package reduction of $90,450 represents a 2% reduction in the total S&S and capital outlay budget of the agency. The reduction was taken from a list that the agency provided in response to House Bill 3182. The top item on that list was described as reducing overtime. The second was reducing professional services, and then there were other miscellaneous proposed reductions. This proposal takes about half of the amount that the agency offered up on that list as potential reductions. So there's a $40,000 reduction in budgeted overtime, a $35,000 reduction in professional services, and a $15,450 reduction in non-fixed S&S accounts. In item K, LFO Adjustment Package 2, is a reduction in federal funds of $163,277, taken from professional services and special payments. This is due to some discussions with the agency regarding the total amount of federal funds they anticipate receiving in the biennium. And I think based on their projected receipt of revenues, this reduction is possible. And then if for some reason they receive more money, it can always be increased by the emergency board.
Is this related to the estuary?
No, this is not. This is a separate item. Item L is an adjustment package to deal with the new CARISA limitation request. I think agency described their need for some professional services and legal expenditures related to removal plans and options for the new CARISA. The agency came to the emergency board in January of this year with a proposal, and due to some misunderstandings, that proposal was denied. We have talked to the co-chairs, and they have approved this limitation increase of $50,000 this biennium, which would require a supplemental expenditure limitation in the appropriation bill, and then an additional $75,000 limitation for the 0103 biennium to deal with the costs that would occur in the coming biennium. And finally, in this program area, we have item M, which is another budget note, which is described there. This is related to the discussions that the agency had with the committee on assumption of the 404 Army Corps of Engineers permits. And I'm not going to read that to you, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. So, Madam Chair, I think if we can do this program by program, it might be more effective. So if there are any questions about this set of recommendations, we can take those at this time.
The questions or comments by the committee? Senator Dukes?
Madam Chair, there's a whole lot of cuts in this budget, and I guess I wasn't expecting them all. I'm still trying to figure out what some of them are. Is there a... Do one of these have all of the option packages in it? Probably not.
Yes, Madam Chair. The Senator Dukes, each of the packages would be in that section number 5 there at the back for this program area.
One of the questions I did have was J on page 4, reducing overtime. I worked with this agency since before I became a legislator, actually as a local elected official, and it just seemed like when they come down for something, they're coming 3 hours to Astoria away from home and 3 hours back, and I would assume that for anything they do on the coast, we're looking at overtime. I don't know how you don't do it. And coastal legislators are always asking for more time from the Division of State Lands because it seems like we have issues and we don't want to just talk to them on the phone. We want them actually there to look at it so we can show them this is what's going on or have a meet with our constituents. And I'm just concerned of what the impact may be of this bigger reduction in overtime.
I had the issue brought to me by the director this morning, and I think that it's a discussion that we need to have in the committee, how that's going to impact services out on the ground. I think the question that I have, too, is if this was so critical, why was it selected for inclusion on their cut list?
I think the governor made every agency provide a cut list, whether they really wanted to or not, and now they have to defend it because they're executive branch agencies. Well, this one isn't exactly. I don't know. They're an anomaly. They have the three top folk.
Madam Chair.
I don't know that it was an option or that any of those cut lists were things that they wanted to do.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, since this is an other-funded agency, that it wasn't required under the governor's direction, but it was House Bill, I believe it was House Bill 3182, required all agencies to provide a other funds and federal funds reduction option list to the legislature this session, and that list was developed by the agency, and these items on item J here were included in that list. And if you look at in the back of your budget in the page 24 of these striped sheets in the very back of the budget, on page 24, you'll see that the agency has budgeted in this program roughly $83,000 for overtime. So this would just basically reduce that in half. They would still have overtime amounts budgeted in their base budget.
The being as we are now currently addressing this issue, I'm going to ask the director to come forward and be part of this discussion with us.
Can I ask, Madam Chair? They got $80,748 last time. I guess that's the estimate of what they're going to end up spending. What we're taking $42,000 out of their request is their request $82,000?
That's correct, Senator Dukes. It's $82,892.
So we would be cutting them by a little more than half from what they actually spent last year.
It would be a little less than half, but
okay.
You're correct.
I don't know how you tell an agency to spend half as much overtime as they did last year. That just seems like a really big hit. I could see telling them to spend less, although we need to understand that we'll get fewer services.
Well, and let's give the director a chance to talk to us about what is on the table here in that $40,000 reduction.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. This is one that concerns us greatly because during our... For the record, my name is Ann Hannes, Director of the Division of State Lands. This concerns us very much for the reasons that Senator Dukes pointed out. We have limited staff that work as resource coordinators that work on permits and leases and other issues. Particularly when they have to travel a long way. If they don't have overtime, then that limits the amount of time that they can be out there working with people, particularly if they have a distance to travel. As of the end of December, we'd already spent for $62,000 of the $80,000 that had been allocated for the current biennium. And our peak season for dealing with fill and removals are during the March through September period. So basically, what concerns me is the customer and citizen relation service part of this, in that it'd be very difficult to tell a coordinator that you can only, you're going to have to work an 8-to-5 day, when during these peak seasons they're often working dawn to dusk. And if they have a long time place to travel to, say Southern Oregon or up in Clatsop County, they have maybe 2-5, maybe even 6 hours worth of travel during that day in order to meet with permittees or landowners or whoever it might be. And then you've effectively closed the window upon which they can work during that day. We allow people to work overtime from an efficiency standpoint, otherwise we'd have to hire more people in order to address the issues that are brought up during that period, and that does not seem to be a cost-effective way of approaching this issue. So at a very minimum, in terms of that adjustment, and I appreciate the fact that you're trying to look for efficiencies and to increase the common school fund, but I think this would directly hit and be counter to efforts to try to be responsive to citizens and to try to process permits and deal with issues in as timely way as we can.
Just a point of personal clarification. So are you currently in your overtime allocations above where this cut would take you?
Yes.
But you're in a situation where you haven't yet gotten into the busy time of your scheduling.
But we've already had a couple seasons already in the biennium where we've had either part or all of a peak season, and we have 5 months remaining in the biennium. So come March again, we'll be entering back into that peak season. So there'll be that kind of March through June that we'll still be addressing during this biennium. So we'll be, my guess is that we'll be expending the rest of that or close to it by the end of the biennium.
Can you share with the committee how this ended up on your cut list?
Representative Morgan, I wasn't here during when the cut list was put together, and I can ask John and Steve to address that. I think that as you have to put cuts forward, they're not ones that you recommend that you'd like to see happen. I guess we try to preserve the absolute core functions first, and then we put on where we might have cuts. So go ahead, John.
John Lilly, Assistant Director for the Division of State Lands. Madam Chair, that's exactly right. We make the best, we anticipate, we'd rather not make any cuts in the budget at all, but the budget instructions say that you've got to offer something. So we offered this. Quite frankly, it happened so long ago, I can't quite remember what the rationale was. But be that as it may, this is an area that it would affect customer service in the field. Just as soon not make the cut there, but if in order to play by the rules, we had to offer something.
Representative Nolan.
I want to follow a little bit up on Chair Morgan's line of questioning. You weren't there, Ms. Hannis. Mr. Lilly, I understand the need to submit a proposal long ago, and it may have faded from memory. Is there another $40,000 cut that you would propose today that would have less onerous impact on your customer service or your mission?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, without going back into the budget and looking at line items, I couldn't tell you at this point. You give us some time to look, we might be able to get something. But quite frankly, we're operating to provide services as best we can. This is not a big agency. It is not an agency that takes its responsibilities, public service, lightly. We're not overloaded with staff nor with funds. If directed to, we would find something to substitute.
Well, and Madam Chair, if I might follow up, I thought that's what the direction for the budget proposal was, that you were supposed to identify the cuts that would have the least impact on your ability to deliver your mission. So I'm reading that at some point somebody at the agency said that this particular one would have the least impact, onerous as it may be, but would have less negative impact than some alternative.
Chair Morgan, Representative Nolan, while I think this would have an adverse effect on the agency, you get into very difficult choices where you cut, a position that, because you're starting to look at this as almost be the equivalent of a year's position, and then that has a direct impact on the budget. So I think either way we might do it in terms of either cutting a position or cutting overtime, we're effectively going to be reducing service out there to the public.
And it's a tough place to be. I'm very sympathetic. It is exactly the place we're in. We have a budget that doesn't allow the legislature to approve all the services we'd like to provide. So I'm very sympathetic. It's a tough place to be.
Madam Chair, since the committee will not be passing this budget out today, I would be glad to review this with the agency.
Excellent.
Further, see what can be done in some other area. If the committee so desires that direction to be taken.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Yeah, I'd be happy to have that happen. It just strikes me that by their very nature, I mean, I don't know why they decided to offer this one up other than maybe they thought we wouldn't take it. I guess be careful what you ask for. Sometimes you get it. But to restore at least part of it. Otherwise, we might not see them in my part of the state as often as we would like to see them. And when we don't see them, it's amazing what some of the people of the state do with their property, with our property.
Well, and I think that the other point, too, is that it's critical during certain times of the year that things happen on a very timely basis so that projects can unfold
exactly.
on the ground. And that
exactly.
if we miss these windows, we set projects back by a whole year, essentially. And I would be very happy if the agency would work with Mr. Rocco to restore this overtime fund, but we would expect that there would be some work done in other areas to make up for this.
And Madam Chair, we will look at what other ways there might be to cut, but I guess I would caution that it won't be painless, because there's going to be some impact. I think a pretty lean organization, and there's not a lot of places to find cuts of this magnitude without having a significant impact on a service that we provide in some form of our.
And if that turns out to be the case, I would hope that the committee must be very sure that that was looked at really carefully. Representative Nolan.
Chair Morgan, if I might be a little schizophrenic, I would like to turn our attention to paragraph H, which proposes a cut of $81,000 for a position that I believe is a clerical support for the unclaimed property claims activities. And I would like a little explanation on why LFO proposed that cut, since I'm assuming that although this isn't an actual auditor position, it still enables the auditors to do their jobs, and therefore I'd assume that this position is essentially self-funding. That if we cut the $81,000, we probably lose more than $81,000 in recoveries of unclaimed property.
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, this position is, you're correct, it's more of a processing position, and I understand the agency is undergoing a reworking of the work products within that unclaimed property unit. The co-chair's direction is that even though this is another funded agency, that they are concerned about the diversion of expenditures from the Common School Fund, because the agency either spends money before it gets into the Common School Fund or is spending money off of the interest earnings that the Common School Fund generates. So their direction was to not to approve positions that were not critical to the functioning of the agency. It may be possible that if the agency looks at how that unit is functioning with the two continuation of the positions in Package 101, that they could request a position later from the emergency board or some other. It may be that this is not even the proper position for them, and they might need something better once they've looked at it.
Bear in mind, remind Representative Nolan that we are...
A quorum.
At quorum. Oops, except we've lost.
We're back
in business. We're on quorum.
That we are, the LFO is recommending that we include, that we continue the two
the
positions
two auditors.
That are working on this already.
I appreciate that, and since the agency has demonstrated that those two positions more than recover, I mean, return 15-plus fold return on the investment the state makes in those, that makes sense. My only comment is I wouldn't want to remove a clerical support position that helps those positions be effective so that if they have to do the clerical work that this position is doing, if it reduces their ability to bring in revenue, it may be penny wise and pound foolish.
Chair Morgan.
Representative Krieger.
Are we going to leave that one? I want to take a look at package 106 under G. Would it be appropriate to have the director kind of explain the impact of that?
And probably we should hand out the...
Madam Chair, would you like me to go over the packages, the ones that we particularly have concern with from the beginning, or do you want me to address them as the questions come up by the members?
Perhaps in order to just frame the discussion, it would be better for you to go through your memo and work through the packages and give the department's comments on them, and then we could initiate the discussion with having both these things laid on the table.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to underscore that at the beginning of the week, when we talked about how we put together these packages in our budget, there were two primary themes that we tried to keep in mind. One is to improve customer and public service, and the other one is to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of the division. And the second theme was to protect and enhance investments of the Common School Fund. We really appreciate the time we've had before the committee here. Let me go through some of the packages and the recommendations that are a particular concern for us. With regard to package 105, this is the one that had four positions. There was a leasing position, there was one for range management, and then there were two support staff, one a data support and other clerical support. We support the analyst recommendation, and this should have said for the leasing position, that was the NRS3. There was a memo that we provided to the chair at the very beginning that shows that the amount of revenue that would be generated certainly during the first several years of this position would considerably exceed the total amount of the package, and the graph that we have here actually is the entire package and not just one position. So we think that from the standpoint of generating revenue for the Common School Fund, we think that that's a good decision and recommendation. However, we're very concerned about the range management program and the NRS2 position associated with that. We feel that position's absolutely vital for protecting our current revenues from the range lands, as well as documenting use levels and assuring that appropriate fees are being assessed and paid. We need to make sure that we maintain the carrying capacity of the land, and that it's important that we're demonstrating that we're working on rangeland health, because I think there's a likelihood we could face future litigation on that if we show that we're not working to preserve and enhance those rangelands. I also want to note that if you don't include that position, I would ask that you take out the phrase that says rangeland leases under the budget note that LFO has recommended to be in there, because I can't see that that if you just had the one position that it could also deal with rangeland health as well. So having that rangeland person in there, I think, is very critical with working with our lessees in Eastern Oregon. On package 106, this is the one that Representative Krieger referred to. This was trying to have we've asked for a non-regulatory wetland specialist. Our fill and remove program is a regulatory one, and we feel that in order to work with permittees and landowners and really get them engaged with protecting and enhancing wetlands, it's important to have this non-regulatory wetland specialist in there. If you feel that because the budget is so tight because of the Common School Fund, one of the suggestions that I have there is to include a budget note directing us to work with OWEB to develop funding for that non-regulatory specialist, either through federal funds that might be available or OWEB funds, as a way to allow us to, you know, continue to try to pursue having somebody in that position. With regard to Package 107, this is the unclaimed properties position that we've asked for. Currently, it takes 75 days to get to respond to people when they have requests regarding unclaimed properties. What we wanted to do was to get that wait down to 30 days. We feel that that's an important customer service to our citizens. The Package 109, this has to do...
That's a good question.
Or Senator Dukes.
How many people average in a month make claims on your unclaimed properties?
Last year, we processed 8,000 claims.
And how many people work in processing these claims?
We'll get you that answer in just a minute.
I was just wondering, I mean, that's 2.5 months that it takes from the moment you get the claim till you send out the merchandise or the check or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
100? Yes, 700.
It seemed like a long time.
30
but I don't know how many. If you only have a half-time person doing this, then I could fully understand why it takes that long.
I thought we had three. How many?
Madam Chair,
Representative Hayden,
and Mr. Rocco, or how long has this been lying around, for 5 or 10 years or longer? What's the time limit on unclaimed? When does it become unclaimed?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, I think you need to ask the agency.
When does property become unclaimed? Are there various time limits for various categories?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, yes, there are time limits. When accounts are dormant, for example, at banks, and also that paychecks aren't paid out. Go ahead, Cindy, do you want to answer that?
Cindy Vermilia, Fiscal Manager, Audit Supervisor for the Division of State Lands. The unclaimed property is, before it's reported to the division, the most common dormancy period is 5 years. There are certain types of property, for instance, governmental agencies that have a 2-year dormancy, utility deposits are a 1-year dormancy. Traveler's checks, 15 years, money order, 7. Once the division receives the property and have balanced the reports to the dollar amounts that we know that our records match what we actually received, that money is immediately available for claim. One FTE can process about 200 claims a month. I'm not sure the exact number currently of FTE that we have processing claims. The program program manager tries to reassign duties as the backlog increases to try to keep it manageable. So we're constantly monitoring that.
And, you know, and once somebody finds out that they do have money with the state,
they want
that money now. And so two and a half months is a long time for people to wait to get money back that they feel, and I agree, is rightfully theirs. Should I move on to 109? With regard to 109, this is dealing with our information systems. We would ask at a minimum that you restore $80,000 of this request in order for us to replace our network server. Our current server is at its maximum. I think we run into We're running into security issues now for the agency database so that we can try to protect that from any kind of security breaches or corruption. And then I think if we don't try to upgrade that, we'll be running into serious efficiency problems. I mentioned already about the LFO adjustment package, and we've talked about the overtime. I think, you know, when we looked at these requested adjustments, we don't feel that they significantly affect the common school fund distributions to K through 12 in the current, upcoming, or future biennium, because it does affect the revenue stream going in. It does not affect the corpus of the common school fund. But I think the bottom line of this, as I mentioned earlier, we put forward these requests because we wanted to improve customer and public service and our efficiency and effectiveness, and we wanted to protect and enhance investment for the common school fund.
And with that, committee members, do you wish to address any of these specific packages?
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I have one I support. An LFO recommendation. We can go find it. On package 105, I'm very grateful that we kept the natural resource specialist 3 for additional leasing development.
Well, before you get too hopeful, I have something to say on that.
You got to understand what it's like to have folks who live next to folks who, you know, one's paying the full amount and the other one isn't paying the full amount, or one business. I mean, literally, a lot of these are businesses out over the water, and you've got one business in town that pays their full share of taxes and everything else, and you've got another one who's leasing half their property for nearly free from the Division of State Lands. And the one business doesn't understand how come the other one, because their landlord is the state, doesn't have to pay nearly as much and doesn't have the overhead. And it's, and so then you talk to the Division of State Lands. Well, they'll get out there. And, I mean, they're doing an excellent job. It's just they don't have the staff in this area. So it really is money to come into the state school fund.
And it would, and in this graph that you gave us that relates the collections or the increase in revenue to the expenses of the program, I believe that the question that Senator Dukes asked you was to show over time whether what impact the collections would have as it relates to the interest earnings on the account.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that information?
Okay, I guess maybe I misunderstood that it had to do with the interest earnings. I think that would take, I mean, admittedly, that would take a longer period of time in which to show the return. What we were trying to look at is what this meant directly to increasing the overall principal of the common school fund.
I think the committee was concerned that the expense of this position would come out of the interest earnings of the fund, and so you would be decreasing the interest earnings of the fund by the amount of this position, but you would be adding back revenue into the principal, which would take an extremely extended period of time to be realized in any kinds of savings that would translate into the cost of the position.
Yeah, they didn't answer the question. But is this $670,000 a year, a biennium, or forever?
Well, it appears to have a life, a shelf life.
This may be total. Did they ever expect this person to?
Hold on a second.
Cindy Vermilia, Division of State Lands. When we did this graph, the numbers, if you look at the expense, the number of the expenses, we started at $200,000, which is half of the package for a one-year period. The next number in 2003 includes the loss, with using a 9% rate of return, just as a hypothetical rate of return, it includes what the lost revenue would be to the fund in that one-year period, considering that we'd spend the $200,000 in the first year. So we did calculate in lost revenues based on the expenses. At the same time when we calculated the revenues, we added a 9% inflation factor to show where the revenues that come in would also be earning during that period.
But your calculations are based on revenue in the fund rather than disbursements out of the interest of the fund.
The disbursements, we calculated the lost earning power of that also. I don't have the numbers behind the graph, but the, for instance, the second year, the $200,000, we inflated that by 3% because we figure a standard inflation rate, so it would be $206,000 plus a 9% of the $200,000 that we had spent in the first year, $18,000. So your loss or your expense in 2003 would be $224,000.
But and that would reflect the increase to the principal less the cost of the position with the built-in inflation and interest and all that? Is that what I'm real confused about where you're coming from here.
It seems like
let's see if I can explain that better.
10% be 16. First of all, this is reflecting all four positions. So it's showing you what the expenses would be for all four positions versus the revenue that it would be generated with those four positions. So you'd actually be having, the expenses, if you'd have this package that you're saying would be less than here. But it shows that as you have these...
John Lilly, Division of State Lands. Of course, these packages for the land and water program are financed out of the earnings from the investments within the nearly $800 million fund. The distributions, on the other hand, also come from those earnings. And the rate of distribution is controlled by the distribution policy. It is true that making an expenditure of the interest means that there's a little less principal to work with in the overall $800 million principal. Constitutionally, the Constitution directs the board to utilize the interest from the earnings and the principal to finance the land and water management parts of the agency.
But it would also be offset by the receipts that come in that would more than balance that from the non-trust and trust.
Do you want to try this?
Yeah. I was concerned because you're putting a little bit in and then you're going to get interest on that. And how long is it going to take you to pay off in interest earnings that can be distributed to the schools? The cost of that position, and I'm only working on the one position that LFO has recommended, the natural resource coordinator. But if that cost of that is $128,000, and I'm not sure, how firm is your 9% interest that you're anticipating?
Not at all. We
because using that as a factor, you're going to pay off that position in a little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You take the interest that you will get, the $55,500 and some dollars interest a year that you would make off the $617,000 they intend to collect.
Oh, okay.
With 9% interest.
I see where you're coming from.
You're going to pay that position off in about 2.5 years.
Right. There.
And that was my concern. It's like, we're going to give you a position, you're going to collect money, and isn't that nice? It's going to take you 30 years to get enough interest off of what you collect to pay off that position. I think we're in the hole here. But that's it. Just that one position, it looks like. It's based on a whole lot of ifs. If they get 9% interest, if they collect $617,000 in additional claims, and if I guess it's only going to cost as much as we budget, so the $128,000 isn't so much of an if.
but it'll take them about 2.5 years, if those ifs are all correct, to get enough in interest earnings to replace what they've taken, what we're giving them to take out. And that's not a long time to me.
It's not long at all to recoup your investment in that.
Now, that doesn't speak to the other three positions. That's just the one.
I'm sorry that that was confusing, that we didn't address that.
It's okay.
Okay, the chair has had a respectful backroom disagreement with the LFO staff on this issue. The feeling that one of the priorities this budget cycle is to get revenue into the K-12 budget, and this is one of the big pieces that will help us fill that large commitment that's been made there to K-12. So I disagree with the LFO recommendation on allowing any of these positions.
Madam Chairman, I have some concerns about that, if I might be recognized.
Yes, you might. May, will be.
The new position that has been recommended by the agency and I believe by the LFO has to do rangeland management is a position I think that's being put forward in response to a relatively new and very unpleasant tendency at the federal level relative to confined animal feeding operations and animal feeding operations. Federal rules have changed. Oregon statute has not caught up. We have lessees out on the rangeland who are producing income for the Common School Fund who are now at new risk from changing enforcement standards that the federal agencies are bringing to Oregon in the form of a guy named Bub Loisel who's flying around in a helicopter and landing in pastures and citing ranchers. And the fines can be up to $50,000, and it's sort of, pardon the expression, out of the blue. These folks are licensed in most cases on the private land by the state. Since there's a difference in enforcement or in a difference in the rule interpretations, we've asked for and received from the Department of Environmental Quality a very strong stand, and an Environmental Protection Agency has literally backed up in their enforcement efforts over the last few days. But it's been my hope that we can take this position, use the state lands as a template, show folks what the very highest quality rangeland management can produce in terms of sustainability, and help them see through that example that there are ways for us to maintain rangeland management, meet the clean water and clean air and other Endangered Species Act requirements while we're continuing to graze and feed cattle in eastern Oregon, and essentially take that technology demonstration and transfer it back into the private sector. This is a mechanism that does that. And so the loss of that particular position, which is, as I had it described to me, the intention of the agency is to hire the very best range consultants they can find, put those people in the field, use the state-owned lands as a laboratory, get the technology out there to comply with the new rangeland requirements, do a demonstration project, and then feed that back to the private sector, all while making a profit for the state. And then, you know, that's what this new position will allow us to do. Not having it, on the other hand, means that not only the lessors on the ground are vulnerable to the enforcement actions of a federal agency, but we lose the opportunity to show people what sustainable grazing opportunities look like. So that's not a long way of saying I'd particularly like to see the funds added back for this rangeland consultant piece, if that would be possible. But, Madam Chairman, we...
The chair would like to comment on that.
Yes, ma'am.
We have working its way right now through the policy side of the legislative arena amendments to the confined animal feeding regulations for the state of Oregon that will bring us in compliance with the federal requirements. And my understanding is that will completely bring the enforcement of that program under the auspices of the Department of Agriculture. And so hopefully we would address that part of the issue that you raise by that piece of legislation. The issue of the upgrading of the management practices and the inventories that the agency has come up with, I think is it is an issue over there, and I'm not denying it. I think that the balance that the committee has to consider here is, again, the money that's going into the K-12 budget, and that's the issue, that every time we decide to dip into these funds, that's the impact that we're having on it.
And, Madam Chairman, if I might, it's not a rebuttal, it's just an additional consideration. I don't mean to sound, I don't mean to sound like Scott Thomas in here, but, ma'am, these programs don't cost you money. They save you money. They don't cost you money. They make you money. And I guess my point is this. The piece that you mentioned is right. We're going to coincide our confined animal feeding operation ordinances with the federal. What's missing is the technology transfer. What's missing is the demonstration portion, and that's what this gives us the opportunity to do. But, Madam Chairman, I will ask for only one consideration in that regard, and that is that I understand we may not move this bill today. If that's possible, it gives me an opportunity to go with my tin cup to the co-chairs and to the Senate folks, Senator Messerly and others that may have access to other sources of funding that might be used that would not detract from the Common School Fund, and thus achieve your objective, the co-chair's objective, and still give us the mechanism of demonstration project in the form of this option package. So if we are going to close today on it, I would request that we get to come back with an argument and a source of funding. If we're not going to move this budget today, then I will pursue due diligence between now and when the chairman decides to move the bill.
It will be my intention to move this budget first thing Monday, so I expect that this will be a fairly active weekend around here.
Madam Chairman, with your permission, I will tie a bucket of water over the door of the co-chairs so that we have an opportunity to talk about it.
Technical problems. My esteemed committee staff here has informed me that we haven't made proper notification to put the passage of the budget on the agenda on Monday. So I think that a more reasonable way to look at this is to nail down our discussions, and then when we get the LFO recommendation on the reclassification package, we'll bring this back and deal with the whole thing at that time. So that will give you even more time to come up with some alternatives for this.
Madam Chairman, I bow to your superior wisdom and appreciate your generosity in allowing that time to try to find those sources.
As we forge down the learning curve here, or hopefully up the learning curve, I think every one of these budgets has faced us with new challenges and new opportunities, and we've learned new skills and new twists and turns as we work our way through this process. And one of the things I think that I walk away from this budget with is that having honest and cards on the table type of discussions from the very beginning of the process would save all of us a lot of time and a lot of spinning of wheels. Okay, so we appear to have three issues on the table here that are still outstanding. I would like to come to some consensus within this group on the positions that are on the table, the natural resources position and the rangeland, the three FTE that they require. My personal opinion on this one is that we shouldn't have any of them. I think that the agency has made a case that the return on investment for the waterway leases is justifiable, and I'd like to get consensus from the committee on how they feel about that. already know how you feel.
Yeah, I like it.
Senator.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Representative Nolan. You missed the discussion.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. These again are these are other funds, limited positions.
These are funds that are going to come out of the Common School Fund distribution. We've had information presented by the department, which is this piece that you have, that that shows that that there is a return on the investment for the position that relates to ironing out the issues that are outstanding with waterways and those kinds of leases. And so that's the position that we're discussing.
Right. Madam Chair, that is is that a temporary position?
I would only be in favor of doing it if it was a limited duration position and the agency had to continue to come back and prove that that was making money.
That would be my next point, was a budget note for the agency to give us a report in the interim as to how well that position is working in that regard. I would suggest a budget note for them to come back and report on this position to whatever appropriate interim committee that would have oversight to give us an update on the progress of that individual and being able to return those dollars.
Representative Hansen, could you give us the benefit of your judgment of this?
This is Representative Hayden, not Hansen.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think the response will be based on the budget that I've seen so far, is that the position is working very, very well and deserves increased salary. I mean, I could write that report right now.
Representative Krupp, there was included a budget note related to what you were alluding to in item F in the memo that I provided. It was basically asking for a report to the next legislative assembly, but that could be adjusted to an interim status kind of a report.
Madam Chair and Ken, I did see that and thought that did not apply to this position. That's why I made that particular statement. If you could expand that to that, I would be very much in favor of that.
Okay, now I would like to get consensus. From the committee on the overtime issue, the $40,000 that the agency is requesting that be restored to cover overtime costs. Comments on this one?
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
And I've lost the page, but it seems to me that looking at their budget, right around $80,000 is what they have generally been paying for overtime in a biennium, and so cutting them back from the requested $82,000 to $42,000 seems, I mean, it's not like they had a big biennium this biennium and spent more, and it's likely to be less. I'm just concerned about the loss of services, and the Common School Fund is for the kids of the state of Oregon, but it's also the sole funding source of operating revenue for the Division of State Lands, and so.
And my personal feeling on this $40,000 is just what I said, that the downside risk of losing an entire season on projects that have to happen on the ground is worth us making a $40,000 investment to this.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nolan.
Not intending to cut into the ability of the agency to provide adequate coverage for important visits and activities around the state, I would submit that it is a management issue. Just because we have been spending $80,000 per biennium on overtime doesn't mean that we have to continue if we do something else. And I don't want to be the manager of the agency, but I have been the manager of public agencies, and it is not something that is out of a manager's control. Secondly, as we discussed earlier, this is what they put at the top of their list if we cut. And maybe they did put it up there because they thought it would be like threatening to defund the state championship football team, and we'd never dare do it. But if they put it out there, I'm inclined to take their advice.
Representative Krupp.
Madam Chair, I concur. Representative Nolan.
Okay, I think pieces to consider here are that they have already spent more in overtime than we are. Their investment in overtime is more than is covered currently if we make this cut in the budget. And also to consider that in areas where you need people out on the ground to take a look at wetlands projects that are happening, that the downside risk to it is that you've delayed the project for a full construction season before it can actually happen. So consider the impact on the users of services to this that this agency provides. Representative Krieger.
This morning, I think Senator Dukes will recall, we had a conversation with these people.
We did.
DEQ. The need for them to help people through and understand the policies of getting these permits and working and the interrelationship between two and three agencies. We heard through our campaigns, most of us, the difficulty in rural Oregon of having access to these people and frustration. So I think we're taking away one of the things that gets them on the ground into the rural areas where we're having the problems. For instance, where I am, if they leave Salem and go to Gold Beach, it's 4.5 to 5 hours one way. It's obviously going to be an overnight trip. I don't think we can tell them one way that, hey, cut back, get by, expect to get the same service we're saying we want to maintain or expand to the public.
Notes all over your sheet now. Are there any other issues that the committee wishes to bring forward in relation to the LFO recommended budget or issues that have been raised by the agency?
Madam Chair, listening to Senator Farioli, I am sympathetic to his can't even read, rangeland lease person. Struck me as he was speaking that he's going to run into the same kind of position with rangeland leases that we find ourselves in on the coast and waterway leases. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
You're just such a softie.
Yeah. You just wait.
Madam Chair, and Senator Dukes is my vice chair, as you well know, on the Salmon Committee, and she just looks like a softie.
Yes, actually, I think the three of us know each other well enough now.
And Madam Chair, I was going to suggest that budget note that Representative Krupp wanted, they should report back to the Joint SR2 Committee, shouldn't they?
They should definitely be reporting to a policy committee in the interim, and if there is a Joint SR2 Committee, that would be a natural place for it to be.
I wasn't throwing in an if.
If there is no other business to come before the committee, there is, I get the feeling.
Well, there's more to this report, I noticed.
We've only covered one program.
Oh, we only did the first part. Oh, rats. Okay.
We can't afford to go any further.
Chair Morgan?
Yes.
Will you be needing me here?
We will not be moving into work session. We will not be moving the budget today, so I would leave that to your judgment. I know you have that commitment in your district.
I'll review it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if we can continue and we'll try to go through this as quickly as possible. On page 5, number 2, is a recommendation on the Common School Fund programs, the non-limited portion of that. And what LFO is recommending is reducing the governor's recommended budget by $11.6 million to bring it down to a non-limited distribution of $32.6. And there are several reasons for this, how that the numbers change, but primarily it was due to timing difference as new information came in. The agency's request budget had a level of about $32.6 million, which is just what we're going back to. After the agency's request budget was developed, the governor's staff looked at it, and based on a model that was developed and other kinds of new information, they increased that amount by this $11.6 million, which forced the projected distribution to K through 12 schools up by a similar amount. We're based on how the market did last year in the fund, which the fund value actually lost 4% rather than increase the 6 to 7% that the governor's staff had projected, leads to the need to reduce this amount. And this figure is just a target kind of a figure. The actual distribution is set by the land board's policy. So this is just a this non-limited category. It's a very strange kind of a category. It's just sort of a target figure. The Department of Administrative Services can move this non-limited kind of limitation anytime that the agency requests with proper documentation. So basically we're just proposing to reduce that to a figure that is more in line with what the current market looks like.
Senator Dukes.
Does that mean we have to go look for another $11.6 million to balance out the state school fund?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, I believe after the March forecast comes out, there will be a lot of looking for resources. So that may be one that will have to be addressed again.
Okay.
Is this clear to the committee that that the governor's recommended budget amount coming out of the Common School Trust Fund is substantially higher than LFO's projection about what will come out of the Common School Trust Fund?
And Madam Chair, the actual amount will be set when the, I think it's the revenue committees, look at the total distribution to schools. So they will probably set that amount. This is just sort of a guide of how much is anticipated to be distributed at this time.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
It would seem to me that if the projections to sustain the governor's recommended expenditures on K-12 are not accurate, if in fact the Common School Fund is not going to generate the $11 million that the governor put into his K-12 budget, that the adjustment should be made in that $5.2 billion figure rather than attempt to generate revenue somewhere else. If his premise is based on, I wouldn't say faulty because no one could project what the market would do, but if market conditions don't allow capturing revenues to sustain the $5.2 billion, I don't think it incumbent on this or any other committee to find those revenues somewhere else. They don't exist.
Well, I think that's going to be quite a topic of discussion in this session. Please continue.
Okay, Madam Chair, number...
Before we leave that subject, it's just that there's such a close association, they're so closely linked, the Common School Fund and the K-12 budget.
They are.
Yeah.
And the ability to generate that amount of funding out of other areas of the budget is a tremendous challenge.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, item three, the on page five, Oregon Wetlands Revolving Fund. Although it's entirely out of character for LFO, we're recommending approval of the governor's recommended budget amount of $200,000. Other funds in the
should we highlight this on your card?
A fit of generosity.
Item four, the Natural Heritage Program. There are one LFO adjustment to Essential Package 30, which is a $98 general fund reduction for AG services. And that was the one we discussed earlier in the Common School Fund programs that due to the change in the hourly charge. There's a recommendation for basically a 10% reduction of the current service level of $3,758 in general fund. And again, this is the only general fund in the agency. and it goes to the Natural Heritage Program. This would likely cause fewer meetings of the council and other kinds of support services and supplies reductions. There's a recommended budget note, and this is with respect to the ongoing efforts to move this program to move the database functions within the Natural Heritage Program to a state agency, which the most likely agency is Oregon State University. And this is the area that you heard testimony on, that it was not included in the governor's budget. There's an estimate currently out there that it would cost an additional $100,000 of general fund. So this budget note is being put in, recommended be put in place to allow for some other activity to occur if the funding doesn't materialize somewhere else in the budget, perhaps in the higher ed budget, perhaps somewhere else. We're just not sure. So this would allow, if that doesn't occur, it would allow the agency to go to the emergency board at some point and request funding for that. And the final program in the agency's budget, I'm sorry, there's two more, but the South SLU National Estuarine Research Reserve, we have proposed some reductions here. The A is a PERS employer rate contribution reduction amount of $1,234 other funds and $373 federal funds. B is an adjustment to essential package 30. Again, this is the change for the Attorney General service charges. Package 104 is the reclass package for the South SLU, and again, we're recommending denial pending further discussion of that package by or further evaluation by the Department of Administrative Services. With their report, which is anticipated to be received sometime mid to late next week. And that package would reduce the governor's budget by $9,354 other funds and $3,418 federal funds. Package 108, LFO is recommending denial of this package, and this is the one that would add a position as a volunteer coordinator at the South SLU, and it includes federal funds that need to be matched by money from the Common School Fund, and based on that, LFO is recommending denial. There's a budget note in E. This is based on some of the issues that we've had with the reserve on identifying progress in their capital improvement projects that are going on in the South SLU, and properly accounting for various grants that they've gotten from the federal government for those projects. So basically, we're asking approval of this budget note to direct them to provide quarterly reports, which we understand they do already for the commission that's down in South SLU. So we're just asking that those reports be provided to us. And in addition to that, in order to provide better tracking of their expenditures, we're recommending refinement of the appropriation bill to identify two categories of expenditures for the South SLU, one operations and the other for capital improvement. Item F is an adjustment package, and basically this is an accountability kind of a package which would reduce the current service level budget of the South SLU by half, and with a direction to them to report on how they've been proceeding with construction activity, the reports that are identified in item E, and how they've been complying with the various grant requirement notifications to the legislature. And if they can report on that and come to the emergency board, then the remaining limitation for the second fiscal year of the biennium could be provided to them.
Senator Dukes.
Do we have some reason to think that they won't give us the reports?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, there has been some confusion with respect to the federal grant review, and in fact, they have not been complying with that, even though there was direction given to them in the last budget report to do so.
Is it not correct, Mr. Rocco, that they have currently received a $500,000 grant from the Forest Service for land acquisition that they haven't requested permission to apply for?
Madam Chair, I know there is a grant through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is approximately $995,000, I believe, for acquisition that is still being worked on. I'm not sure if they have actually received it or applied for it, but there has been discussions about it, and that's one that actually the committee may hear about that later, if because during the session, this committee and the full Ways and Means Committee will act as the legislative review for any federal grant applications that agencies may have. So you will see those occasionally, and that the one that Chair Morgan has mentioned may come before this committee later this session. Item G is an adjustment package by LFO to add capital improvement carry forward. This again, this money was not included in the governor's recommended budget, and it's part of the issue that we have about maintaining oversight on their expenditures for capital improvement projects. The agency has identified the need to have carry forward in the amount of approximately $42,000 other funds and $473,000 in federal funds. And these are amounts previously awarded and for these construction projects that were not able to be expended either this biennium, and in some cases it was the biennium before that. So we're recommending a increase in the expenditure limitation in order for those capital improvement projects to be continued in the 0103 biennium. Item H is another budget note that is with respect to the federal grant application process that Senator Dukes just asked about, and this is basically a little firmer approach than last time in the budget report, where there wasn't a budget note, but there was direction to the agents to the program to comply with ORS 291375. So this time we put it into a budget note and anticipate the program will comply with this direction. And then in number six on page seven, it is the last program of the agency, which is the Capital School Fund Capital Improvement Budget Program. And in this case, we're recommending reducing this back to the current service level, which would just basically take inflation out of the program and reduce it to the 9901 level by reducing other funds by $9,150. Number seven on page seven would just be how the appropriation bill would be changed, and these numbers are based on the current recommendation, and would change when we get into final work session based on how the committee votes and decides on these individual packages and proposals.
Now that I have allowed you to get all the way through this, are there any questions or comments on the part of committee members? What we will do then is, did you want to work through the spreadsheet ahead of us? Are you finished?
Yes, I am.
Considering that there is no more business to come before the committee today, I will adjourn the committee, and Mr. Rocco has a schedule for next week's activities. We'll be taking up the Water Resources Department's budget on Monday afternoon, and we will continue to work on the issues that have emerged today with the Division of State Lands budget, and I will adjourn this meeting.